afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Wednesday, get you through the coronavirus crisis. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable right here on the Jason Rancho live on AM 770 KTTH. Streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, you should download it immediately. We got a lot to get to, only 3 hours to do it. Places of worship get a reprieve from Governor Jay Inslee, but does it go far enough? Labor and industry just became weaponized by the governor. Most of you didn't realize it. That was the intent. Plus, another edition of what the heck did Joe Biden just say? We're going to get into that story and so much more. This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
The governor just announced that he is giving a reprieve of sorts to places of worship. He has announced that he's allowing, under certain circumstances, the ability for places of worship to reopen. They will, of course, have to abide by the guidance that the governor has outlined.
For in-person services, the following activities with the appropriate health guidance can be safe to begin with. First, in phase one, and essentially this would be allowed throughout the state of Washington now, right now. So right now in phase one, outdoor religious services can be held on the organization's property or immediately adjacent, up to 100 individuals using face coverings. And congregations will be able to do this multiple times during the day.
So you can get together outside up to 100 people during phase one, but you do have to wear a mask. There is some question as to the constitutionality of that because, number one, he is again specifically citing a religious institution with a rule that he is not imposing on non-religious institutions. When you go to a grocery store, you are not compelled by Governor Jay Inslee to wear that mask. But if you are to go to a church or a temple or a mosque and they have the ability to allow you to pray on their property outside, you have to wear a mask. The question then becomes for the folks who don't have the amount of space necessary to hold any meaningful services outside, what are they supposed to do? Apparently, they're supposed to wait until they get into phase two.
Indoor religious services will be held at 25% capacity of the facility or 50 individuals, whichever is less, again, with face coverings.
And again, that is phase two. And unless you live outside of King, Snohomish, and Pierce County, it doesn't seem like you're going to see phase two for quite some time. There are folks who believe that we're going to get to that position on June 1st or June 2nd. That is not going to happen. Not in Pierce County, not in Snohomish County, not in King County. The guidance that he has put together, not based in science and data, as much as he wants to say he's based in science and data, does not make it reasonable at all for the three biggest counties in Washington state to move forward. You're starting to hear more and more folks on the left in these counties move forward. Say, hey, could you give us a little bit of a break here? We want to protect as many people as humanly possible, but we also have to get our economy up and running again. We have to have our churches and mosques and temples up and running again. Cassie Franklin, the mayor of the city of Everett, is going to stop by with that exact same message at around 5:30 today. And so it doesn't appear that the governor is listening to the pleas. Instead, he'll tell you that if you want to reopen your church, you just want to see old people die. That's his message. It is, of course, a ridiculous message. Now, at some point, when you are able to get into your church, into your temple or mosque, you still have to be socially distance from one another.
Physical distancing, and that means that we really need a full 6 feet between pews and between seats in all directions, or where people stand, and they need to be identified by markings to help people really understand the distance we need to keep for each other during the services. And of course, we need to wear face coverings.
So again, this is a partial win for people who want to actually worship at their traditional place of worship, but not necessarily wins for churches and mosques and temples in King, Snohomish, or Pierce counties. Right now, we've got 24 counties in Washington that have moved into the second phase of reopening. So for those of you who maybe live in the three counties in Western Washington that are primarily listened to on this station or represented on this station, you're probably going to have to leave your county to worship if you want to be following the rules. This comes, by the way, at a time where the president just put a heck of a lot of pressure on states. And this is, yet again, the governor following the same script. He takes a position and he's stern about it. We are not going to reopen the churches. We can't. It's not safe. The president then comes out and threatens. Activists come out and say, we're going to sue. Joshua Fried, GOP gubernatorial candidate, sued. It was a successful result for him. And now he starts to cave. He does this all the time. He acts tough. He talks about science data. And yet I'm to be told, because he just changed his mind, that the science and the data must have been different on Monday of last week than Wednesday of this week. Something dramatically changed for the governor to actually change his mind. Remarkable how that works, huh? The guy is all about science, data, science, data. He doesn't actually present you the science or the data. But now he wants to remind you this is being done because science data dictates itself. What specifically does the science and data say that made you change your mind? Science, data. No, you said that. I'm saying what specifically? The science. No, but what science specifically tells you? The data. No, the data is the same. You're doing the same thing. Could you tell me what the actual data is? Of course he can't. And he also, by the way, said he's pushing the same thing that he did with the restaurants, although, again, following the script. He originally said when you're reopening the restaurants, he's mandating that the restaurants actually collect the personal data of the folks who go down in case there is some kind of outbreak so that they can do the contact tracing. But then when people push back, both on the left and the right, he caved, said it's voluntary. Well, now he's starting with voluntary collection of data. He is asking places of worship to give up or at least collect the data of the people who are coming in to pray. It's voluntary, though. This is the governor who specifically targeted places of worship, calling them non-essential, but said abortion providers were essential, pot shops were essential, liquor stores essential, and now he's saying we would like you to collect data. No, thank you. I'm a hard pass. Now, Governor Jay Inslee chose during all of this, because he wasn't just talking about the reopenings of places of worship, he chose to ignore the unemployment scandal. Where under the department head for the Employment Security Department, ESD, Susie Levine, giving away $200+ million to Nigerian fraudsters. He has so far chosen not to talk about this on his own. He doesn't tweet about it. He skipped out on the press briefing last week about this. And today he had the opportunity to get into it. He chose not to. Instead, he went directly to reporter questions. Now, the first question came from the AP. Two questions, not at all about this. And then finally, someone from the Seattle Times, Joe something or other, he asked the question. He asked a very specific question. Is the question in this clip? So the question that he asked was, do you still have confidence in Susie Levine after this scandal? Jay Inslee decided to completely ignore that question and just say, I don't like bad guys steal money.
Well, what I stand against is the moral outrage of this international conspiracy.
Okay, first of all, you can't stand against a moral outrage if you support the moral outrage. You're actually standing in favor of the moral outrage, you dum-dum. Can we just understand that? You're not speaking out, standing out against the moral outrage. Are you not morally outraged? I'm outraged. People are still going on now 10 weeks of not actually getting their unemployment checks. They're outraged. And the question was, do you stand with the department head who is not qualified to run ESD, but is was a donor to your campaign, was a massive donor to the Democratic Party? You installed her despite spending $44 million on a software fix to go after the exact kind of fraud that we just fell victim to. Do you stand with her? Well, I stand against the bad guys. I got that. I know you stand against the bad guys. We all do. That wasn't the question.
See, that turned the virus of COVID into the virus of crime.
Oh, God, I hate him so much. I can't do this. He's just trying to wax poetic now. He always talks like in this flowery way. He thinks it's charming. It's not. You sound like a dummy.
I mean, you hated somebody last week.
I hate everybody. Put him on the list.
Is he top of the list now?
I mean, Brian Stelter's up there. Put him at the top.
And these criminals deserve our scorn and our condemnation and our righteous anger. And they ought to be pursued, and they will be.
Okay.
And the department now is involved in a very vigorous effort, and they've taken quite a number of measures.
Just real quick, because he's about to say they've taken quite a number of measures to stop this kind of thing. Could you have taken those measures before they stole hundreds of millions of dollars from Washingtonians? Oh, because I thought you did with that $44 million software upgrade. But I guess that wasn't what needed to be fixed? Okay.
Which obviously we don't disclose so that the criminals don't learn about our activities.
Hey, Governor Inslee, you didn't disclose it beforehand and they still took all of our money. How'd that happen? How'd that happen? Did they get access to the memo?
But I can tell you that they've been very vigorous.
Okay.
There has been some success in the over hundreds of millions of dollars that have already been recovered because of these vigorous efforts. And we
wait, so now there were hundreds of millions more that you lost that you didn't tell us about, but you got it back. Is that what you're now saying? Because you're not really being clear.
Thanks some of the law enforcement activity that's been involved in that. We know that we are not the only state that has been attacked.
That part's true. We're not the only state that's been attacked. We were the primary state that was attacked. We were the primary state because there was a giant vulnerability due to his incompetence in leadership. Due to the incompetence of Susie Levine, who, I'm going to spare you from listening to the remainder of this clip of 45 seconds, whom he never, ever, ever calls out. He did not answer the question because he is a political coward. Now, I don't know if there have been a follow-up question because he's currently speaking and I am saving you guys from having to listen to the nonsense coming out of his big mouth. So if he actually has an update to that, we will certainly deliver it to you. But as of right now, he's doing what he does all the time, which is fail to lead. Fail to take a stand, you coward. We have literally people listening right now who are 10 weeks in. Not only did they not get an unemployment check, again, this is their money that they put into the system for a time like this. Not only did they not get their check, they haven't even received an email or a phone call acknowledging that you even are taking them seriously. People have spent hours and hours and hours trying to get through, not talking to anybody. People have sent countless emails, not getting a response. Talking to their state representatives, like Senator Darnielle, who refuses to come on this show, coward. Who says, oh, we were asked by ESD not to get involved because, you know, they want to focus their attention on you. Yeah, that's not working. It's not working. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
Hey, look at this. Another criminal released over this absurd coronavirus crisis policy where they're saying, hey, we want to make sure we're not keeping bad guys in jail because, oh my gosh, they might get the coronavirus. But this guy is a 26-year-old. Yeah, we don't want him to get sick either. You do understand that a 26-year-old, unless he has some sort of underlying health condition, is not at a significant risk of even feeling bad as a result of the coronavirus. But you're going to release him. Okay, cool. Well, this dude they just released, he's now accused of vehicular homicide. This is a death that didn't need to happen. But it did because of a really, really stupid judge by the name of Bruce Weiss. 26-year-old Peyton Maddy. Ooh, Peyton. Giving Peyton's a bad name.
It's my alias.
He's giving him a bad name. He was in jail in Snohomish County. He was in jail waiting for a trial for vehicular assault. He had been previously, up until this point, he had been previously arrested. How many times? How many times do you think he was arrested?
Five.
Nope, keep going.
Seven.
Nope, keep going.
10.
Go up.
12.
More.
15.
Add 10.
25.
Add 5.
30.
There, bam.
Wow.
At least 30 times. Including, by the way, for reckless driving and felony hit and run. Ho! Oh, look at that. Sounds like he's on a roll. Sounds like you got a trend here. But instead of keeping him in jail, we decided to release him over these phony coronavirus concerns. So a few weeks later, guess what he did? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to guess. And remember, I gave you a hint. There's a trend. What do you think he did? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Say it with me. Vehicular assault. Oh no, sorry. Vehicular homicide. He killed someone. He's accused of killing someone. He gets into another accident with a guy on a bike, 61-year-old. He's dead. Happened in Seattle. And this accident happened after cops tried to stop him because he was recklessly driving someplace in North Seattle. He ran away. He drove away knowing that he was going to get caught, knowing he was going to get arrested. And on the way from running away from these cops, he ends up hitting this guy, allegedly. Janine is a neighbor in the area. And she heard the accident.
What we saw was a car that was just right there with the door open. It was smashed in between the fire hydrant and the bus stop. And a man laying over here with a bike completely destroyed right there.
So that's Janine talking with Q13. So Maddie ends up driving away from these cops, gets into this accident. Oh, and then good news, he flees again from the hit and run. He was luckily found. He was arrested. They think he was under the influence at the time.
When is too much? You know, like we have these repeat offenders over and over and over and over. And there needs to be some sort of like boundary setting.
Yeah, well, there's not going to be. I mean, I hate to break it to you, Janine. Sound like a really good person, but you're naive if you think that the state is going to do anything. They let these people out, and they think that shows compassion. They have compassion for felons. They don't have compassion for the 61-year-old who's dead. They don't have the compassion for the neighbors that are being tormented by these felons who are being released. They don't care. They have no compassion when you see that person shooting up across the street. They don't have any compassion when you're driving your kid to school and you get to see all the hookers outside of Aurora Avenue in North Seattle. They don't have compassion for you. They have compassion for the bad guys. You're not owed compassion. This was a guy who was arrested at least 30 times. Theft, assault, stolen property trafficking. This was a bad guy. And yet, the judge, Bruce Weiss, the presiding judge of the Snohomish County Superior Court, said we should get rid of him from jail. We don't want him to get the coronavirus. Well, good news, I guess. He didn't get the coronavirus. I mean, someone had to die as a result of this decision. 61-year-old. But remember, 61-year-olds don't count. Their lives don't matter. I mean, Jay Inslee talks about the left saying it all the time, or the right saying it all the time. They want to reopen the economy. We want to reopen the economy, and that means we want old people to die. And yet all of these decisions that are coming directly from the top, that are actually leading to the deaths of 60-plus-year-olds, a result of what Jay Inslee is doing. Got it. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
I am convinced that the Joe Biden team doesn't actually like their candidate. Which brings us to another edition of my favorite game show.
What the heck did Joe Biden say?
Yeah! Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. What the heck did Joe Biden say? The time of the show in which we play you a clip from Joe Biden and we try to decipher what the world is he trying to say. Part of the problem with Joe Biden as he's doing these little web streams from his basement in Delaware is he can't read notes. But I've noticed now they've gone from notes, producer Peyton, to a teleprompter. You can tell because you can see him squinting. He can't quite read everything that's on the screen. But in this case, I guess they took a note off the teleprompter a little bit too soon, and it got him all confused.
Look, one of the things that that I think is really important is that,
what is that?
We somehow put that back on. Somehow that we're in a situation where we...
The funny thing is, I'm assuming they put it back on the screen. He still didn't know what to do.
Who thought that it was a good idea to add more technology to Joe Biden's needs? Who thought that that's what he needed?
I don't understand why they keep putting him in positions like this. Why are you doing it live? I understand that Joe Biden is in a position right now, much like Donald Trump, where they can't actually go out and campaign. It's a little bit different for the president because he's the president. He gets to basically do his press briefings when he wants, and he's able to get cameras in front of him, and he gets the coverage. And of course, he is starting to travel a lot more. So Joe Biden is there, and his campaign is saying, look, we can't be stuck in this basement. We got to at least put out some content. Why do it live? Why not do it on tape and then be crafty about how you edit the video and then post it? There's no reason for him to be live.
You've been on this since day one, since he started stumbling on these live videos. I don't think any of his producers have been like, oh, maybe we should pre-record.
It truly is remarkable that they haven't decided to put together a well-edited video. I honestly don't understand. And in this case, I can't remember. He was talking, I think, the mayor of Pennsylvania, I think, was in it. And the one good thing for Biden is he's at least in frame in this video. The guest, and again, I think it's the governor of Pennsylvania, his head hit, like the top of his head, hit maybe the midway point in the box. And so it looks like he was seated in a child's chair. That's how poorly it was.
Way too much headspace. Has no idea what the rule of thirds is. There's a rule of thirds when it comes to photography and videography, and he needs to study that.
No one said, hey, before we hit the live, go live button here, could you maybe boost your chair up a little bit or move the camera down just a little bit? We understand. Everyone understands we're doing this in our homes. That'd be perfect. This seems like it's very fixable.
It was so bad.
Meanwhile, then he tried to come up with a number from 2008 and the recovery that the Obama administration did. Of course, he was the vice president. He can't remember.
The president put me in charge of getting out the recovery money, which was
89
billion. I guess it came to 84 at the end. 84 billion.
Are you sure? What is it? Where are we going? Was it 800, 89, or 84? This seems like something very simple that they could have put on the screen. Just say 89, 84. Maybe they're editing it in real time. And he's just getting confused. Unbelievable. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message. We come back. It turns out late last night, Governor Jay Inslee decided to essentially weaponize the Department of Labor and Industries. And it's to the point where now it can legitimately, today, if they wanted to, bankrupt a small business. This is a clear abuse of power. Coming up when we come back, Chris Corey, state representative, Republican from Yakima, is going to jump into this. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. With no debate, with no discussion, Governor Jay Inslee just weaponized the Department of Labor and Industries, L&I, giving them the authority to essentially destroy a business with fines starting at $10,000 if they violate his order. Joining me with his reaction is State Representative Chris Corey, Republican from Yakima. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So this comes via an emergency declaration. Is this an abuse of power?
I think it absolutely is. And it just shows you how far this governor is willing to go to punish businesses for daring to try to, you know, keep their livelihoods that they've built open and running so that they can feed their families and you know, provide jobs for their employees.
And that's really what this is about, because this decision is coming at the same time where there are Washingtonians who are now going on week number 10, where they have not received an unemployment check. This is money that they're owed. This is money they paid into the system, but a bunch of Nigerian fraudsters got paid.
Yeah, my office has been working for the past 2 months. We're up to over 100 people that we've helped get unemployment who have either been denied or given, you know, all these different loopholes. They're not able to feed their families. I've got people who are going to food banks for the first time in their lives because ESD can't get paychecks to them. But we're going to issue hundreds of, you know, what we're over $100 million in paychecks to people out of the country, and nobody's being held accountable for this. It's atrocious.
Well, it really is. I mean, Susie Levine, who is the commissioner for the Employment Security Department, ESD, she should not have a job.
I would agree. I mean, she is the leader of that organization, and that organization is not paying Washington residents while at the same time paying fraudsters. I mean, that is a huge problem. And people need to be held accountable, and it starts at the top.
Yeah, and keep in mind, and you know this as a state lawmaker, $44 million just went into a software upgrade so these types of frauds don't actually happen. And instead of taking responsibility for this, Susie Levine is out there saying, oh, well, you know, other states were also targeted. And this, you know, they're highly sophisticated. Sorry, no, Washington was the primary state that was targeted.
Yeah, and we're even now seeing reports that the FBI is saying that there were, or the Secret Service, I should say, was saying that there were clear signs that we should have heeded, or the department should have heeded, that they ignored.
Yeah, but Susie Levine doesn't want to actually acknowledge that. If you're just joining me, we're talking with State Representative Chris Corey, Republican from Yakima. Let's talk a little bit more about the L&I dictum, I guess, coming down from the governor. How exactly would it work, as far as you can tell?
So it sounds like L&I is going to work in cooperation with, you know, these reports of abuse, the snitch line, as it's being appropriately called on social media, to send agents of labor and industries out to fine and enforce these orders on local businesses. It's scary that we live in an America where that's possible. But more frustrating is the fact that this was all done under emergency edict. So there's no sort of sunshine on this process or public input from stakeholders. It was just done because, well, darn it, if you're not going to my order out, the power of taxpayer-funded state government.
And that means also that lawmakers were not involved in this, or at least certainly not the Republicans. When did you find out about this?
I found out about it yesterday when I started getting notifications and messages from people across my district saying, did you hear about this? This was done, you know, I hate to use the cliche term, but under the cover of darkness, it really was. It was something that was intentionally pushed out, and the timing is pretty suspect, you know, with what's going on. There was very little transparency. And it's,
well, why do you really think the timing is suspect?
Well, you see everything else going on, right? I mean, you've got this big crisis that now the governor's ignoring. We haven't seen a lot of, you know, press updates from him recently like we were at the beginning, and then he drops this right when you've got this big hubbub going on at ESD. And now today, instead of facing the media and talking about what we're going to do to not only fix ESD and, you know, look at these atrocious rules by LNI, now we're going to talk about churches today, which
yeah.
I'm grateful for. I'm glad that we're opening religious institutions. They should have been open from the beginning. But, you know, it's just another lack of leadership on the governor's part. And, you know, his administration is responsible for the agencies, and I think he should be held accountable.
It's 100% deflection. And by the way, let's remind folks, Governor Jay Inslee wasn't even a part of the press briefing on the hundreds of millions of dollars that were sent to fraudsters in Nigeria. He left it just to Susie Levine, and the governor had a press briefing that was scheduled on the topic that he talked about today on churches on that day, but he chose not to do it, instead just throwing out there Susie Levine. So he wants nothing to do. He doesn't want his name to be even attached to the scandal. And this would be a long list of departments that he has not been able to operate effectively or lead effectively. I mean, this on top of a few years ago, the Department of Corrections released, due to a flaw in a computer algorithm, a whole bunch of felons earlier than they were supposed to. Some of them went out and actually recommitted crimes, killing individuals. And then, of course, we have the loss of accreditation for Western State Hospital, or certification.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the executive agency has a lot of responsibilities. And it, again, I said it earlier, it starts at the top. And you really need to be holding your directors accountable. And you know, he's just not doing that. And you can tell by what they're doing with these emergency rules. He's doubling down on his, you know, presumed authority to force businesses and, you know, families and individuals across the state to suffer.
So you point out that it's an assumed authority. What are the Republicans doing about any of this? I mean, you're not the first person who said that. Where is the pushback?
So we've been pushing back in a variety of areas, and I think that's what's, you know, caused some of the frustration. I mean, I don't know if you've probably heard. So on my personal watch, I've filed a lawsuit along with other lawmakers challenging the status of the emergency powers, and we believe that they've been expired and violated at this point. We've pushed back there, and his response is not to defend his position, but to just say that we don't care about people over the age of 60.
Yeah, you want to kill senior citizens. That's literally what he's saying.
Years. And he said mothers on Mother's Day, we wanted to infect them, and that's just not true. And frankly, if we had these who knows how many hundred millions of dollars, we could be more effective in protecting our seniors, but that money's gone now. So we're continuing to push back. We believe that there are, you know, there are emergency powers in our Constitution, but they're very limited, and we believe that his extension has violated that, and it's time to get power back into the legislature, as well as our local health districts and local government. They're going to know best how to help get our state moving forward, not, you know, one man in an office in Olympia.
Well, the Democrats are touting the fact that they've got favorable polls, that people actually back here in Washington State the moves made by the governor. Do you fear that this is going over well with constituents? They do, in fact, back him. And that come November, we're going to have to deal with another term with Governor Inslee.
Well, I won't speak to that election piece, but I will say that some of that polling seemed pretty flawed. I know the latest did a survey of around 500 participants. It seemed a little short-sighted to me. I know there was a Crosscut Elway poll that was heavily focused on the King County area. And I would be interested to see, of the people that are supporting this and want to keep this going, how many of them have either lost their jobs, their business, had a paycheck interruption, have had to go to the food bank? Because most of the people that I talk to that are for this lockdown haven't experienced any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore are not affected by it.
And that really goes to say there's a huge sort of chasm, I guess, between Western Washington and both Central and Eastern Washington. And it just seems like the perception is so much different depending on where you are in Washington State.
Oh, absolutely.
So what is it that we don't understand on the west side of the state that you're understanding in Central Washington?
So, you know, we're a heavy mix of ag and small business, and ag has been deemed essential, so we have a lot of people working in that section, but we're run by small businesses across the Yakima, across most of Eastern Washington, and they've all been deemed non-essential. So, you know, I've got local store who are offering similar products to a Walmart or a Target or a Costco, but they can't be open mm-hmm. because they're not safe, but it's okay for everyone to crowd into a Walmart. And that's frustrating a lot of people. I mean, you know, for me, I go down to my locally owned Ace Hardware for stuff, and thankfully they're still open. But there's a lot of those type of companies around our state, especially on this side of the mountains, that have been forced shut, and their livelihoods are just in ruins right now.
Yeah, but the only thing that we're hearing from the governor is that you want to kill old people. We've been talking with state representative.
Which is obviously not true.
Yeah, of course it's not true. And it's such an absurd argument. And I've got the post up right now if you guys want to check it out at ktth.com. The governor was essentially arguing with himself in this interview he did with Q13's Brandi Crews. It is so embarrassing. And the more people that watch it, the better it's going to be for Republicans to take over that seat in the governor's mansion. We've been talking with state representative Chris Corey, Republican from Yakima. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. More coverage right here on KTTH when we return. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. We are live on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for all the text messages. In fact, if you text the keyword RANTZ, RANTZ, to 1-800-465-8770. You'll get my latest blog, which got a shout out today from Dana Perino on the 5. She said it was very brilliantly written. It's the best thing she's ever read in her life. Something like that.
Those were her words?
I mean, it was close. I mean, she said it was a very good piece, and she doesn't have to name me, and she did. You know why? Because I'm important. So important, by the way, that Democrats are now using this show and using my tweets to fundraise off of, which is kind of funny. There's a state representative named Emily Wicks who insisted on Twitter that I've talked to her before. I don't think I've ever spoken to her before. I remember my old producer, two producers ago, emailed her about a story we were working on that we'll get into in a moment. I don't think I've ever actually spoken to her. But she caught my attention because she was going after Q13's Brandi Crews for her interview with Governor Jay Inslee over the weekend. We talked about / mocked it incessantly yesterday that the governor had essentially a fit because he was getting pushback from Brandi, who was saying, whoa, 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 you keep taking a position that folks who want to safely and responsibly reopen the economy, you're saying that they just want old people to die. No one's actually saying that. And he got very upset. And so Brandi posted the video on Twitter to this interview. And Emily Wicks, the state representative for the 38th district, that's Everett and Mukilteo, she got mad at Brandi and called it clickbait. She goes, oh, this, you're just sensationalistic. You're just doing this for the clicks. And a whole bunch of people jumped on Emily Wicks to say, what are you talking about? The interview was not sensationalist at all. Jim Bruner over at the Seattle Times said that. Colleen O'Brien from our sister station Cairo said that. And I also jumped in. And she ended up apologizing on Twitter. She apologized. She said, look, I'm not going to question people's motives. I'm sorry. And then she sent out an email this morning. And she's doing almost exactly the same thing that she said she wouldn't do. Dear friend, apparently she only has a friend. No, it's one of those emails that she's sending to a group of people begging for money, but rather than set it up so that they can identify the name which you put into the system, instead of saying, Dear Peyton, because that would be a little bit too tough for the democratic technology infrastructure, they simply say, Dear friend, 11 days. I mean, it's very dramatic. It's very dramatic. 11 days. That's all. Actually, you know what we should do? Can I get some sad music? Is that something? Don't you kind of feel like this needs a little bit of music? Yeah. Nah, let's not do that. Should I ever just read it?
Play the music.
I can't play the music and read it at the same time. It's not working.
Because you'll laugh?
Well, no, because it doesn't. My computer won't allow me to. Hum it. But more menacing and sad. But menacing and sad.
Menacing, menacing.
Mm-hmm. 11 days. That's all it took from when I was appointed to the state house for the far right conservative talk shows to start attacking me. And why did right wing talk show host Jason Rantz feel the need to attack me? Because I stood up for Governor Inslee and his explanation of the stay-at-home order. Click here to help Emily fight back. I love that. Okay, it's done. We're probably going to get sued for copyright infringement. I mean, but that was your own retelling of a copyrighted piece of material. So they're using me to raise money. And it's so funny because I literally did the same thing that everybody else did, but she only targeted me. And Brandy, tongue-in-cheek, asked on Twitter, why is it that in light of her apology, in light of Emily Wicks saying sorry to Colleen O'Brien and Jim Bruner, they chose to attack me? It's because, well, two things. Number one, it's very easy to villainize folks on the right-wing talk show host, because she's playing into her dumb progressive base of idiots who think everybody on the right is evil. And frankly, to call me this hardcore right winger is just kind of funny coming from someone like Emily Wicks, because she's so far to the left. She is a Seattle progressive who just happens to represent a portion of Snohomish County. So number one, it's just so easy to do that. And number two, it's simply because she does not like that I have the power that I have in Snohomish County. We have influence. When Todd Herman gets called out by Bob Ferguson, it's because he has influence. When I get called out by Emily Wicks, it's because I have influence, which doesn't actually mean I have influence or Todd has influence. It means you guys have influence. The people who are listening right now, we have a huge following in Snohomish County, huge following. That's a big reason why we spend so much time on the show talking about Snohomish County. You guys are listening. Whether it's in Everett or Mukilteo or Sultan, you guys are tuning in each and every day. You're reading my blog. You're following me on Twitter. And you are engaging. And I tell you this not just to say I'm very popular, which is also true. Everyone's all like, oh my gosh, that's Jason Rantz walking by. Let me spit at him. I say this because you guys don't realize the amount of power you have. All you have to do is get just a little bit more organized. Just a little bit more organized. Spend just a little bit of extra time calling a neighbor, a family friend, a coworker, and pitching on behalf of whomever is running in your district or whomever you're voting for governor, just pitching that candidate to someone. Because when we talk about the issues and we take all the politics out of it and we just talk about flat issues, just it, talking about, let's say, reopening the economy, I think regardless of whether or not you have a D or an R next to your name, if you were to take the position of we should safely reopen parts of the economy while protecting the folks who are most vulnerable to the coronavirus, I don't think you're going to get much disagreement based on someone's politics. I mean, maybe a socialist who hates capitalism, push them aside, they're crazy. But a general Democrat and a general Republican will listen to that and say, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I don't want to rush, but I want to do it safely because I don't want these businesses that I frequent to go under. I know the guy who owns that coffee shop down the street. I don't want him to go under. I go to that Subway sandwich stop all the time, and I don't want those people to lose their jobs. Okay. If you present that point of view to a friend and they say yes, that is your entryway into saying, well, you realize Emily Wicks, the state representative, she doesn't support that. She supports this hardcore shutdown that's putting people out of business. But here's this other candidate. Here's this other candidate, and you don't even have to name their identity. You can just say, hey, there's a guy named Bert Johnson who's running. He happens to be a Republican, more independent-minded. He's running in this district. Hey, you know what? Bert doesn't have the same position. I think you should look into his campaign. I think you should just do a quick Google search and see what it is he stands for. And then before you know it, people like Emily Wicks, who, by the way, hasn't even won an election. She was appointed. She is a seat warmer in Everett. She doesn't have to be there. You can actually stand up and make the case for our candidates. And it doesn't just have to be about Emily Wicks, although I guarantee you she's going to rue the day that she decided to try to fundraise off me. I hope you're making a lot of money off of this stupid email, because you were never on my radar at all, and now you're exclusively on my radar. Now everything I talk about, I'm going to tie back into how much of a disgrace Emily Wicks is. How much of a loser this candidate is. All the time. Every single day.
You're going to bring so much attention to her, so much more than she would have on her own.
100%. There was no reason to do that. She chose to because she's lazy. She doesn't know what she's doing, and she needs a villain. I'll give you the villain, but something tells me you're not going to want to choose me as a villain, not in Snohomish County. You're listening to the Jason.